Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Hope you're having a great Tuesday and very thankful that you've chosen to spend some of it with us. We are in the second day of a series by Derek Prince on the fear of the Lord, and it is really a powerful, clarifying, just settling experience to hear Derek teach so clearly the Word of God. And yesterday, he really spent most of the time focusing on false fear or fear that's not in the category of the fear of the Lord. He talked about natural fear, which we all have and we should have, you know, fear of, you know, falling off the cliff or the fear of a soldier going into war. That's normal. That's natural. You know, fear of being burned if we put our finger on the stove. That's the natural kind of fear that keeps us safe. Then there's a demonic fear, an evil, false fear that torments us and doesn't come from God and clearly has an evil intent. Then he talked about a religious fear, kind of a false religiosity, a fear that doesn't come from God, a fear that rules us by domination and oppression and scares us, so to speak, into some sort of religious system. That's a false religious fear. And boy, we sure need to watch for that in our religious systems. Now, today, he's going to talk about the fear of the Lord, specifically from the life of Jesus. And I'll tell you, when you look in the Bible and you see what the fear of the Lord is meant to produce, man, there's not anything we want to study today quite like the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is how we perfect holiness. It's how we live a passionate life. It's how we live boldly. It's how we please the Lord. And so let's get ready with our Bibles and our notepads and listen now as Derek Prince teaches us on the subject of the fear of the Lord.
Today, I'm going to be talking about Jesus as our pattern. I'll be explaining the part that the fear of the Lord played in the life of Jesus. I believe you'll find this inspiring, but also challenging. I want to begin in the Old Testament, in the prophet Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. In these verses, Isaiah gives us a prophetic preview of Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, and of the part that the Holy Spirit had in his earthly life and ministry. He speaks about him as the rod from the stem of Jesse and as a branch. Those were titles of the Messiah. And you'll see that the emphasis in this prophetic revelation is on the part played by the Holy Spirit in the life and ministry of Jesus. Here is what Isaiah says. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, that's Jesus, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And then it goes on to say, his delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. That is actually a full, inspired unfolding of the seven aspects of the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. I'd like to set side by side with that just one verse from the fourth chapter of Revelation, verse 5, a description of a scene in heaven. And it says there, and from the throne, that's the throne of God, proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. That's an unusual phrase, the seven spirits of God. Personally, I do not believe it means that there are seven Holy Spirits, but I believe it's the Bible's picturesque way of speaking about the seven manifestations or forms that the Holy Spirit takes, seven being distinctively the number of the Holy Spirit. Now, if we turn back to that passage in Isaiah chapter 11, I believe we have a revelation of what are the seven forms of the Spirit of God. They are given there in those verses. First of all, the Spirit of the Lord. That's the Spirit that speaks in the first person as God. And remember, in the triune Godhead, each person is himself God. God the Father is God, Jesus the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. He is Lord. So that's the first form, the Spirit of the Lord. The second, the Spirit of wisdom. Then third, understanding. Fourth, counsel. Fifth, might. Sixth, knowledge. And seventh, fear of the Lord. Notice the culminating manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus was the fear of the Lord. That has always impressed me when I came to see that, that even Jesus, the Son of God, had to have the fear of the Lord, and that this was imparted to him by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. So here we have combined the character of Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit, and they culminate in the fear of the Lord. My thought is this: if Jesus needed the fear of the Lord, and if the Holy Spirit saw fit to impart to Jesus the fear of the Lord, and he was the sinless Son of God, divine by nature, if he needed the fear of the Lord, then how much more do you and I need the fear of the Lord? And you'll see that the emphasis in that passage is on that final manifestation of the Holy Spirit, because the next verse, verse 3, continuing to speak about Jesus, says his delight is in the fear of the Lord. The one aspect of the Holy Spirit that is singled out for particular mention is the fear of the Lord, and one distinctive aspect of Jesus' character is he delighted in the fear of the Lord. What a pattern! What an example for you and me! It surely causes me personally to see the depth of my need of the fear of the Lord imparted to me by the Holy Spirit. Now I want to speak about one way, one very distinctive and important way in which the fear of the Lord was actually manifested in the earthly life and ministry of Jesus. And I'm going to turn to the Epistle to the Hebrews, the 5th chapter, and read verses 7 and 8, which are speaking about Jesus as our high priest, but describing how he lived and exercised a priestly ministry in the days of his flesh, that is, while he was still here on earth. And this is what it says about him: in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. I wonder whether you picked out that phrase, he was heard because of his godly fear. Why did God always answer the prayers of Jesus? What was there in the prayers of Jesus that always brought a positive response from God the Father? We're told Jesus prayed out of godly fear. He prayed in the fear of the Lord. And that caused the Father always to answer his prayers. Here he was in a moment of agony, for the description refers primarily to the scene in Gethsemane. And as he was agonizing before the Father, you remember what he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." That's the epitome of the fear of the Lord. Lord, let me not ever put anything of my choice before yours. Let not anything seem more important to me than your will. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will, God. That is the essence of the fear of the Lord. That is the keeping of the first commandment. You shall have no other God before me. Nothing else in your life will ever take the place that belongs uniquely to God.
One of the themes that Derek has just emphasized so beautifully is that there is a spirit of the fear of the Lord. And I want to urge you, even as we're listening to this, because we want to be so practical in this week, that you just take a few moments in prayer and ask for the spirit of the fear of the Lord to come into your life. You know, Jesus talked about how that spirit was upon him and how that spirit motivated him and how that spirit helped him to please God. A spirit of the fear of the Lord. Yes, we want the spirit of faith and the spirit of love, but we also want the spirit of the fear of the Lord so that we are the people that God has called us to be. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
The Bible proclaims, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes." In his classic book, The Holy Spirit in You, Derek Prince reveals how this third member of the Trinity desires to be your supernatural helper. Through its pages, Derek clearly explains the ways of the Holy Spirit and how He works in the lives of believers. You'll discover that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can experience the presence of Jesus, pray according to God's will, receive greater understanding of the Scriptures, and receive healing in your life. To order your own copy of Derek's book, The Holy Spirit in You, simply call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The Holy Spirit wants to bring you comfort and power. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order your copy of The Holy Spirit in You securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. It's Tuesday, and we are listening to Derek Prince teach us about the fear of the Lord. And he's about to step into a passage I've always loved, Acts chapter 9, where the early church is described as walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Boy, that defines the kind of Christian life I want. I want to walk in the fear of the Lord, so I'm a holy, righteous, passionate man, but I also want to be comforted by the Holy Spirit. Let's listen now as Derek Prince teaches us how to walk in these twin factors, these twin works of the Holy Spirit of God.
We're going to go on, and we're going to take the early church as our pattern. And we'll be considering the fear of the Lord in the early church, as it's described for us in the New Testament. The first passage we'll look at will be in Acts chapter 9, verse 31. This is a description of the early churches in Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. They had passed through a time of persecution that had been stirred up mainly by Saul of Tarsus, who had been converted and become the Apostle Paul, and out of the time of persecution, they'd entered into a time of rest and blessing. And this is how the writer of the book of Acts describes this. Acts 9, 31. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified or built up. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Now, I want you to notice that balance. It's something that runs all through Scripture. It's something that doesn't really fit in with our normal, carnal way of looking at things. The balance is between the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We've seen already from the example of Jesus that it's the Holy Spirit who puts in us the fear of the Lord. But it's the Holy Spirit likewise who comforts us. And what I want to emphasize today out of this lesson from the early churches, that we must never separate these two things, the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Many of us would say, well, what I really need is comfort, encouragement. True. But if you receive comfort and encouragement without the fear of the Lord in your life, it will not do for you what you really need. It's liable to make you careless or proud or puffed up. It will not produce by itself the result that is needed, the result that God intends. The comfort of the Holy Spirit has to be balanced by the fear of the Lord, the reverent awe of the Lord, which is also inspired by the Holy Spirit. We must not separate these, and I want to suggest further that we should not reverse the order. Do not put the comfort before the fear. That's the tendency of natural inclination in every one of us, is, well, I really need comfort. I need encouragement. I need help. But the divinely inspired Word of God puts the fear of the Lord and then the comfort. I believe that's where safety lies for every one of us. And then I want you to notice the results. It says the churches had peace, they were edified, and they were multiplied. They grew in numbers. So there are three results in the Christian church, in the lives of Christians, of the balance between the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. First of all, we have peace. And you remember I pointed out to you earlier in these talks that the other kinds of fear do not impart peace. That's a distinctive aspect of the fear of the Lord, that it imparts peace. Secondly, they were edified or built up. They grew stronger. And third, they were multiplied. Their numbers grew. Now, we hear today a lot about church growth, and I believe in church growth. I believe churches should grow. But I want to suggest to you that this is really the divine pattern for church growth. It's the fear of the Lord balanced with the comfort or encouragement of the Holy Spirit, producing first of all peace, second edification or upbuilding of the believers, and third numerical multiplication. And I want to offer my opinion that if we achieve multiplication without the fear of the Lord to start with, the results will be very superficial and very temporary. I've seen churches grow like mushrooms and wither like mushrooms too. And they withered because they were not rooted in the fear of the Lord. Now, in the New Testament, the fear of the Lord is also inculcated in us as Christians in our personal relationships. There's a brief but very important verse in Ephesians 5:21, speaking to us about how we need to relate to one another. It says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. It's very important. You see two things. First of all, God requires us to have a submissive, humble attitude towards our fellow believers. Second, the reason we're to have this attitude is the fear of God. If we look at our fellow believers and assess their characters and their problems, many times we might say, I don't see any reason to submit to a person like that. I'm just as good as he is and maybe better. But if you think like that, you're not thinking in the fear of the Lord. The reason why we are to submit to one another is because we fear God. And God says we're to submit to one another. And if we don't submit to one another, then we are not walking in the fear of God. I have seen many Christians apparently successful with powerful ministries who were in no way prepared to submit to fellow believers or even fellow ministers. And about that, I just have to make one comment on the basis of Scripture. They may be successful, but they're not walking in the fear of the Lord, and I suspect their success will ultimately be short-lived.
You know, leave it to Derek to get us excited about the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and then tell us that one of the ways that comes to us is by submissive, humble attitudes towards our fellow believers. It's almost a bait and switch, but that's what the Word of God says. There's more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
The Bible proclaims, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. In his classic book, The Holy Spirit in You, Derek Prince reveals how this third member of the Trinity desires to be your supernatural helper. Through its pages, Derek clearly explains the ways of the Holy Spirit and how He works in the lives of believers. You'll discover that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can experience the presence of Jesus, pray according to God's will, receive greater understanding of the Scriptures, and receive healing in your life. To order your own copy of Derek's book, The Holy Spirit in You, simply call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The Holy Spirit wants to bring you comfort and power. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order your copy of The Holy Spirit in You securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and we are listening to Derek Prince teach us this week on the fear of the Lord. Now, if you've missed any of this, log on to the website at derekprince.org, and you'll be able to hear this fascinating teaching as well as other great teachings from Derek Prince. Let's listen now as Derek continues to teach us on the fear of the Lord.
Moving on now in the New Testament, I want to give you one final great unchanging reason why all of us need to cultivate the fear of the Lord in our lives. This reason is stated by the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 19. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work. Conduct yourselves through the time of your sojourning here in fear. Notice those words. Conduct yourselves in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Notice, first of all, that those words are not addressed to sinners. They're addressed to God's redeemed, believing people. It's to them that Peter says, conduct yourselves here during the time of your sojourning in fear. And he gives two reasons why we need to have this attitude of reverent fear. First of all, he says, we're all going to have to give an account of ourselves to God, our Father. He says, the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work. There is a judgment ahead of us. It's not a judgment of condemnation, but it's a judgment of evaluation of our lives and services, our faithfulness. And we need continually to bear in mind, every one of us, that there's going to be a time when, as the Apostle Paul says, we shall give account of ourselves to God of the things done in the body, whether good or bad. I believe that is a realization that every one of us needs to have continually before us. And then the second reason is the price that God was willing to pay for our redemption. We were not redeemed with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The most precious thing in the universe was paid for our redemption. That should cause us to live in the reverent fear of the Lord, lest we do anything that would displease or dishonor the one who paid such a tremendous price for us. Let me give a very simple illustration. You go to a store and you buy a very cheap watch, a few dollars. You're not really very concerned how you handle that watch. But suppose you go to another store, a real high-class store, and you buy a really expensive, beautiful watch. Maybe it's a gold watch. It's got many jewels in it. You pay a high price for it. Let me ask, which watch are you going to take more care of? Obviously, the one you paid the high price for. And that's why we need to be careful how we live. Because of the tremendous price that God paid through the blood of Jesus for our redemption.
I want to reemphasize what Derek taught us are the two distinctive marks of the fear of the Lord. First of all, it motivates us to obey God. The fear of the Lord does not make us want to shrivel under God's awesome, terrible, lightning bolt oppression. No, it makes us fear Him and therefore love obeying Him and, yes, fear the consequences that come from disobeying Him. It's a motivator. It's powerful. It draws us to Him. There's an awesomeness to the fear of the Lord. But the second thing that the fear of the Lord produces in our life is peace. It produces peace because we know that we're in the Holy Spirit. We know that we're walking according to His will. We know we're doing what He's told us to do. May the fear of the Lord come in your life in a fresh way. May the spirit of the fear of the Lord come in your life so that you walk both in the comfort and the fear, both in the obedience and the peace. If you've missed any of this, log on to the website at derekprince.org. And all throughout this week, we're going to be talking about and ministering to you the fear of the Lord and the right attitudes that bring the pleasure of God upon your life. But that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order your copy of Derek's book, The Holy Spirit in You, available for only $8.95. To order, simply call us toll-free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Our numbers again, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order your copy securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's DerekPrince.org.